Turning your Bibles to the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke, the 19th chapter. I'm also going to be in Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 to 26, but I'm going to read from Luke 19, 28 to 40 first. As we celebrate Palm Sunday, also remind you of some couple announcements. Remember, we got dinner afterwards. You're welcome to stay. If you didn't bring anything, we got plenty of food. We also will have an Easter egg hunt for the kids after that. So I remember those couple of announcements there. In the book of Luke, the 19th chapter, we see the story, and it's also recorded in Matthew, but in Luke, we see the story of Jesus coming in, which is known as the triumphal entry, or either Palm Sunday as we look at it, kind of the beginning of what we call Holy Week as we get ready for Easter. So in Luke chapter 19, verse 28, it says, when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass that when he drew near to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mountain called Olivet, that he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter, you will find a coat tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way, and they found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the coat, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing that coat? And they said, the Lord has need of him. When they brought him to Jesus, they threw their own clothes on the coat, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many people spread their clothes on the road. And when then, as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And then some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Now, over in the book of Matthew, the 27th chapter, in verse 15, is another story, but this story ties with this first story. So, Matthew chapter 27, verses 15 and following. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, that they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have nothing to do with this man. I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, which of the two do you want me to release to you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said to them, what then should I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? For they all said to him, let him be crucified. Then the governor said, why, what evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, saying, let him be crucified. Then Pilate saw that he would not prevail at all, but rather that tumult was rising. He took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of his blood, of this just person. You see to it. And all the people answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Yes, two stories, but they all tie together. Now, do you ever look forward to a day in the future that you know something good's going to happen? Well, we probably do. Brenda's looking for a day when she gets in her new house, if they ever start. I'm looking forward to that day come Tuesday week when I have surgery. You say, you looking forward to surgery? Not the surgery, but the after part of the surgery, because the surgery hopefully will make things better. But Jesus was looking down the road, and yes, he knew what was about to happen, but he was looking toward the other side. He was looking toward Easter, as Grace mentioned earlier. There was a little boy one time that was sick on Sunday morning, which was Palm Sunday. He wanted to go to church, but his mother and father said, "You might would be better to stay at home." And so he stayed at home with his mother. When his father came home from church, his father had a palm branch in his hand, and the little boy said, "Why do you have a palm branch in your hand?" He said, "Well, today we were talking about Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem, and the people put their palm branches down, and they put their clothes down on the road as he walked in, and so they gave out palm branches to each of us." I've actually done that in a church once before. But they put down the palm branches, and the little boy said, "Shucks, the one day that I miss church is the day Jesus shows up." Well, Jesus is always here, every single Sunday. But as we think about Palm Sunday in Jerusalem, they started out with a parade for Jesus. They threw the palm branches down, or laid palm branches down. They threw their clothes down in the road. They were shouting. They were celebrating. This is Palm Sunday. This is how we get the name, Palm Sunday. You've all seen parades. Perhaps you've been in a parade. When we lived in New Orleans, they have at certain times of the year, Lent is 40 days before Easter, and a few weeks before Lent is what they call Mardi Gras. And Mardi Gras is a day, but they have celebrations for about 2 weeks. And they have parades. And in these parades, they're elaborate parades, and they're celebrating, and they're doing all kinds of things, and they're shouting, and this band's playing. Some of them are pretty interesting to watch because they are huge parades, and they can stretch for miles. But as we think about Jesus, he's coming into the city in kind of a parade form. They're shouting Hosanna and Hallelujah and their other praises. And a few days later, they're shouting, "Crucify him." Billy Graham, whom we all knew was a great evangelist, a great preacher, passed away a few years ago. He oftentimes referred to the greatest mission field is right in our churches. And that's probably true. People know what to say, when to say it, how to say it, how to act in it. But when the rubber hits the road, so to speak, there's no personal relationship with Jesus Christ for some. Now, in our day, on Palm Sunday, we're praising Jesus. But on Friday, what are we doing? Well, hopefully, as Christians, we're celebrating, getting ready for Easter, though we remember that Jesus went to that cross. But the words did not match their hearts in that day, in Jesus' day, that is. They had their religion, but they missed the person of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you some three keys that will help you in your relationship with Jesus and being committed to Him and have a sincere faith in Him. The first key is, don't be self-centered. Don't focus on yourself. Now, we may say, "God, here's my calendar. Here's my agenda. Now, let's see where I can squeeze you in to my agenda. Nope, oh, sorry, I can't do that. I got a ball tournament that night. Maybe here, no, I can't do that. I got to go to the river or the lake. No, I can't. Well, I'll figure out some time to squeeze you in." You don't do that, I know, but some people do. When I was in college, I was a youth minister for a little while in a church, and they point blank told me, "You cannot plan any events during basketball season." In fact, one of them joked and said, "If Jesus wants to come back, he cannot come back during basketball season." Really? We're putting Jesus in a box and saying, you know, when we need you, we'll come and find you. Now, first, the people had praised Jesus because he had healed their sick. He had raised people from the dead. And they thought he would be the one that would free them from the Roman rule at the time. But then the tables turned, and it became about me, me, me for those people then. A lot of times, people think so much about themselves, and they don't think about anybody else, and they don't think about Jesus until they need him. There's an ancient legend story that in ancient Spain, there was a small village one time. And in that small village, they'd heard that the king of Spain was going to be coming to their village. Had never come before, but they heard that the king was going to come, and they thought, we got to do something to honor the king who's coming to our village. And they thought, well, the only thing that we can do, we're very poor. Why don't all of us, since we all have great vineyards, why don't we bring the best wine of our vineyards? And let each family bring a cup of their best wine. We'll pour it into a vat. And when the king comes, he can drink from that vat, and it'll be the best wine in the world. Well, the king shows up, and they offered him a cup. They said, the only thing that we can offer you to honor you is the best of our fruits, which is our wine that we produce. He drew from the spigot, and it was nothing but water. And what had happened was, each family had thought, well, why should I waste my best wine on this king? I'll just take a cup of water, nobody will know it, and I'll pour it into the vat. Well, the problem is, everybody did that, and so it was just water. There was no wine. So they had actually dishonored the king because they did not give of their best. They only gave the water. Today, choose to honor the King Jesus by giving him your very best. Give him your all. The second key that will help us in our commitment is a committed faith is a relationship driven. Those who laid down the palm branches and the clothes on the road did so because it was the popular thing to do. Other people were doing it. They did it. So all the people joined in. But later that week, some of the same ones, perhaps many of the same ones, were shouting, crucify him, because it was the thing to do. That's what others were doing. In our lives, a committed faith comes only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Every day is fresh and new. There's a passage in the book of Jeremiah that says that very same thing. God's mercies are fresh and new every morning. And that verse became special to me when I had an Old Testament professor that every single day he quoted that verse in Hebrew, and then he quoted it in English. Every day is fresh and new with the Lord. Then the third key to having a strong, committed faith is to not be swayed or blocked by our personal trials and crises. We all have personal trials. We all have crises that happen. Sometimes it's death. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's this or that. We all have them. But some, how we almost tend to think, well, if I trust in God, everything should be good. But God never said that. Jesus never said, if you trust in me, everything will be good. You will never have sickness. You'll never have this. You'll never have that. We expect it to be good. But then when the bottom drops out, when tragedy happens, when trials come our way, we go, but why? Why, God? Why did you do this? Why did you do this to me? I've been following you. I've been trying to live by your principles, but why did you do this to me? Faith should not be on our situation or our circumstances, because if it is, it'll be casual at best. You've heard me talk about the retreat that I did a few weeks ago at Walk to Emmaus. Some of you have been on a Walk to Emmaus retreat. And they will tell you on Sunday afternoon, because on Sunday afternoon, you're fired up. You're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. You are fired up. But they will tell you on Sunday afternoon, when you go home, your world is still there. It's still going to be the same world that you left. It's not going to be changed. Just because you changed, it's not going to be changed. And they call that the fourth day. They say every day is the fourth day, and you're going to live in the same world with the same situations and problems, but you have a new tool to live in your relationship with Jesus. A committed faith takes the good with the bad. There was a little girl one time walking in a flower garden, and she was noticing the beautiful flowers that were in that garden. And she found one that was extremely beautiful. And she looked at it, and she thought, this flower is so beautiful. And so she plucks it up by the root. She says, it does not need to be in this filthy dirt. And she takes it to the water fountain or water faucet, and she washes off all the dirt. Well, you know what happened to the flower? It very quickly faded and withered. When the gardener looked and he saw what the little girl had done, he said, why did you pick my favorite beautiful flower? She said, well, I did not want it left in the dirt. I wanted it to be in a clean environment. And he said, but you see, the dirt has all the nutrients in it, has the fertilizer that I put in it to make that flower be so beautiful. When you pulled it away from that, it has nothing to give it the life to keep growing. You know, that's the way it is with our life a lot of times. Yes, we live in a dirty world. Yes, we live amongst filth and many things. But we are part of this world right now, in one sense of the word. But as God's using us in our faith, he's using us to reach others for faith in a relationship in Jesus Christ. God has placed you exactly where he wants you to be. And we must trust him. And we will eventually see that he's using our pressures, our trials, and our difficulties to bring us to a new degree of beauty. So the question is your faith casual or is it committed? Yes, Jesus knew what he was about to happen. He knew he was going to the cross, but he could see Sunday coming, that being Easter. When he came up out of that grave, he could see that, and he knew that was coming. And so he was willing to go through that for our sake because he loves us so much. You know, even in the garden that night before he was betrayed, he prayed and said, Lord, if it's your will, take it away from me. But not what I want, it's what you want. So I'll do whatever you ask me to do. So he goes to the cross. And we can't even imagine what Jesus was going through when he went to the cross. It is totally beyond our comprehension in 2025. But thank goodness that he did that, and he did it for each one of you and for me because he loved us. And then on Sunday morning, he came up out of that grave. And we'll talk about that next Sunday. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for what you did through Jesus. We look forward to Easter. We know that this week there'll be those times when we think about Friday when Jesus hung on that cross. There'll be that darkness in one sense spiritually for few days, but then on Easter, the sun is shining bright because we know Jesus came up out of the grave. He's no longer there in the grave. He lives within our hearts. He lives in heaven, and one day he'll take us all to be with him in heaven, those of us that have trusted him as our Lord and Savior. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for Palm Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.